The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Do you have a pencil? Do you have a pencil? No, no. I need a pencil. Do you have a pencil? No? Pencil. No? Do you have a pencil? Good morning. I'm looking. Do you have a pencil? Anybody have a pencil? You had one. I need a pencil. Do you may have? You're so nice. You get one, but I want a red one. Do you have a red one? Yeah. You know, I've just been thinking about this pencil. Do you have a pencil? No? To the nursery, did you all bring a pencil with you? All of you did? Oh, good. That's safety first. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, good. So I have a pencil. Now, I started asking that question right away, didn't I? How many times did I ask that question? A lot, right? Yeah, a lot. Have you ever asked someone a question a lot of times? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I live with somebody who is very persistent. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most persistent people I know. So sometimes I feel like I've lived this story that Jesus tells us about the widow and the judge, and that the judge, did you hear that, finally just gave up, gave her what she wanted. Has that ever worked for you? It's worked in my house, I know, because for 12 years now, he hasn't given up. So it's kind of a funny story, right? This widow keeps going to this judge. And a judge back in this time wasn't just someone who, you know, sat on a bench and made decisions. A judge was somebody that people could go to for help. And a widow was usually somebody always somebody who didn't have a husband anymore, okay? And that often meant that she didn't have a lot of money or didn't have people taking care of her. And so she was going to the judge for help. And he finally just gives in, right? Well, Jesus tells us this story. And at the beginning, Jesus says, don't lose heart and be persistent in prayer. Do you know what that word persistent means? It means to just keep talking to God, okay? Now, are there only certain things you can talk to God about? No. God wants to hear if you are excited about a new toy. God wants to hear if you're mad at somebody. You can tell God about when you've helped someone. You can tell God about when you need help. You can tell God about the people that you love so much. And this parable is to help us remember that. So I have these little post-its, and you can start passing them around. You can take one and pass it around. And Jonah and Griffin are going to help the younger ones each get a post-it. And we have this cross in the back. And on it are some things that people are praying to God about or need help with in our community. So I want you, during the sermon, to think of something you want to tell God or somebody that you want prayed for. And then you can go stick it on that cross. And then we're going to invite anyone to take those prayers off the cross and pray them this week. Okay? And this is open for anyone who wants to participate in that way, that we are going to be persistent enough in prayer that we're going to even post it. Thank you. I will pray for that. All right, let's pray together. Loving God, thank you for hearing us over and over. Help us to come to you over and over. Amen. All right, thank you. You can go back to your seat. I love the joy of going back to the seats or to the nursery, probably. So there's this very common phrase in our English language that keeps coming up for me over the past few months, and I'm trying not to actually live it out. It's that phrase that goes, I'm so tired of blank. You fill in the blank, whatever you're frustrated with or whatever's kind of weighing you down, that I'd like to throw in the towel, right? So we know this phrase, okay? So sometimes this has happened to me over the past few months is I haven't had a dishwasher hasn't worked for 12 weeks, and I'm a little tired of the repairs and the warranties and dealing with the people, not to mention the dishes, and that I really wanted to throw in the towel a few times. Luckily, my husband's more practical and didn't let me just go buy a new one. And I think it's fixed, maybe. And every time a friend has asked me, so did you hear what just happened in the news cycle with the election? I want to be like, no, let's just turn it all off. Then I just don't even have to know what person said what to whoever, right? And then I brought a certain towel. You may notice it's a Bronco towel. And the last couple games, I kind of wondered if they were getting ready to throw in the towel. I'm sure they'll be fine. So throwing in the towel can be this act of frustration that gets us out of something, right? And maybe it does get us out of a bad situation, and that is well and good. But I think most often we use it as a way to express our frustration and as a way to get us out of caring, to get us out of engaging, to give us a way to give up and to not maybe even face whatever reality is that we need to face and figure out how to move through it. And so, you know, for things like a dishwasher and a sports team, okay, those are not things that we need to think about or engage on any type of deep level. But what about the real stuff where we feel like throwing in the towel? What about the stuff that actually gets at our hearts or matters? Like a relationship that's gotten difficult, or that job or the volunteer position that has become overwhelming, or for our students, when you have a major project due at the same time that you have another final, at the same time that it's your last concert of the season? And what about those election issues or those justice issues, those things that come up for us that really matter? They're part of the core of who you are and what you believe and how you want to live in this world. And also, what about matters of faith? About God, hope, prayer, Christianity, walking in faith? We're in a time and a culture where throwing in the towel on faith is an option that's being taken more. And I am willing to guess that almost everyone in the room has felt that way at some point. And this option gets taken oftentimes not because of faith or because of God or because of Christianity, but because of life and because of circumstances and because of being exhausted by trying to figure out how to live and how to know and be and walk with God through all that is tough. And so we start questioning or considering, does our compassion and care really matter? Is it enough? And praying all of the time, Jesus? What does that mean? Don't we have to get off our knees at some point and do something? And right there, right here in that moment, that type of moment of fatigue, the moment where you feel as if you are going to lose heart, it's right here that this parable, that Jesus' words are coming into. That moment when you are just about to drop the towel, or you already have. Notice the first line of this gospel reading gives away the point of the parable. Do not lose heart. Be persistent in prayer. And then what's funny is that Jesus goes into this story of a very persistent and maybe even annoying, right, to the judge, widow who does not give up. And in essence, the judge does throw in the towel and give in and give her whatever it is that she's asking for. Now, this parable's not really about being annoying to get what you want. And it's not really about nagging, but it is about matters of justice. Jesus is offering us a simple way to have a definition of what it means to be just, what this behavior looks like. Jesus helps us to know that the beginning of justice is when we are in fear, which means when we are in awe of God and we have respect for other people, that we hold them with dignity, and that we think of others as first and foremost children of God. See, back in Luke 10, Jesus is asked, "Teacher, what must we do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers from the law, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And then he adds, "And love your neighbor as yourself." And then he proceeds to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, where loving God is loving neighbor, and the definition of neighbor is really big. The definition of neighbor opens up even to those we don't know, even to those who we aren't sure we want to care about, even those who we might even consider our enemies. And that loving neighbor part, that's the kicker, right? Because that's not always so easy. That takes some energy. That takes some effort. It takes time. It can take money. And it most certainly takes heart and persistence. And while we may agree that loving the neighbor is what Jesus has asked us to do, our definitions of justice and what that looks like and how it plays out and what's important and where our hearts are pulled might look differently. And so Jesus offers us this way to keep coming back to being in awe of God and having love for our neighbor. I think this looks a lot of different ways in our congregation. In particular, I was able to walk around the building and find all kinds of symbols, and I probably didn't find all of them, and I can't talk about all of the things, but I know that while our Sunday school kids a few weeks ago made these bags up, these care packages that can go in, you know, your car, and if you see someone in need, you have something to give them. And they prayed over these, they blessed these, and there was heart that was put into that. And I also noticed, you know, we have a preschool here every day that offers high quality education for our community, that's affordable and has wonderful families and children a part of it. We have Stephen ministers who go one-on-one with people and pray with them and listen to them and hear their cries and offer this time of comfort with people who are walking through very, very dark and difficult times. You know, here's a hammer. It's a very wimpy hammer. Don't take this to a Habitat build, but you know, people building on houses, coats that need to be brought in for Pine Ridge, warm clothing for those that don't have it. Our youth have this heart for this year for global neighbors. They are working hard to be able to go to Ecuador, where they'll work even harder, putting in water filtration systems and building houses. We have Faith Family Hospitality coordinators who have stepped up with a lot of time and a lot of heart, and volunteers who make this a home Make this a place where people are fed and they have a place to go. And our prayer shawl ministry, where these get taken and people are literally wrapped in the prayers of their community and in the love of God. And also this facilities master plan, you know, this capital campaign, this building plan, this is where it all started. It started with heart. And it's all about loving the neighbor with space and resources and money and a place in this community that's grounded in God and grounded in God's grace and wants to live that out for the rest of the area that we love and that we call home. All of this and more is where our hearts are. All of this and more is where our hearts get challenged and where our hearts most certainly might get tired. And all of this and more is what it looks like to not lose heart. Being persistent in prayer, it is about actual prayer. It is about coming together and praying for the needs of our loved ones, for the needs of our world. It's about praying at home. It is about walking your neighborhood and holding those that you engage in on a daily basis in prayer and knowing where God is asking you to show up in this place. And being persistent in prayer is also this call from Jesus to continue to walk in faith. This call to doing, to engaging, to caring, to giving, even when it seems hopeless, and even when that towel just looks really good lying there on the ground. The good news here is that we have a promise that we're not in this alone, that we are called to be persistent together, to look out for the needs of our community together. And there's also a bigger promise that in this parable, Jesus invites us to see what others don't see and to open our eyes to what's around us. And Jesus promises we're not alone and that even the widow who was a symbol of being vulnerable and small and unimportant in Jesus' time can make a difference. And the biggest promise that's right here in this parable too is that God in this story is not the judge. God is the widow. God is the one who keeps knocking, who keeps calling, who is persistent in love and in justice, the one with great tenacity to continue to love you, to call you, to move in your heart and your soul and your mind and in your strength. And how much more is this persistent God in open in hearing our prayers, hearing our cries, even hearing our sighs of wanting or needing to throw that towel in, and then promising that Jesus comes along beside us and helps us to pick it back up. Amen.